This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, absolutely delighted and happy to be with you today. I do love spending this time with you Monday through Friday, and we've got our phone lines open for us so that we can have this holy conversation together, right? So they're there for you, they're there for me, so that we can join in this moment and use these airwaves for the glory and honor of God. Let me give you those numbers to use. It's toll-free for you right here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us right here as we have that holy conversation. Matt Gubensky is out there on the phones today. Be sure to give him a big old shout out and say howdy hey to him when you call in today. I know he'll be very, very happy to hear from you, as will I. We also invite you to use EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and or Facebook page. Chat feature is there for you to put your question or comment in, your insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. If you're a first-time caller or a first-time submitter, I encourage you to let us know that, and I will do this. I will ring my welcome bell for you to welcome you to your debut right here on Women of Grace Live. We are open for all kinds of questions today or any comments that you might like to make, any prayer requests that you might have. We want to use this program to take care of those kinds of things. If you do have a comment that you want to leave for us out there at EWTN's radio or YouTube channel, EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page, then I simply ask you to put your name in there so we know who you are. And again, if you're a first timer, let us know that. All kinds of good things coming up. I want to share with you a little bit about them. Today, of course, is the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows, a very important feast for me personally, and it's a very important feast, I know, for so many of you. I have found so much comfort in the mantle of Our Lady, just coming very close to her Immaculate Heart in times of great need, in times of great trauma and distress, great sorrow and great misery. Our Blessed Mother knows all about that. She was there from the moment of the announcement of the angel to embrace whatever God would bring her way. And we certainly know that there were great moments of joy in her life, but also every one of those moments of joy was laced with the knowledge of this call and mission that was hers, that she would be the mother of the Savior, the mother of the Redeemer, that she would give birth to the one who would be the suffering servant, right? And so in that knowledge that was hers from the beginning, not necessarily knowing how it would be worked out, but aware of the fact that this call and mission was going to have its deep travails, she kept saying yes, not just one time, not just one fiat at the moment, for example, of Gabriel's announcement to her, but at every turn in the road, she kept saying yes. And she didn't just say yes. She just didn't say okie dokie or say it with an attitude of resignation. She rather took that moment and embraced that moment. She entered into that moment and let that moment enter into her and pierce her thoroughly, just as Simeon prophesied the sword would do. The ultimate sword, of course, came on Calvary's Hill as she observed her son hanging there, tortured and mocked, ridiculed, being crucified. But she had many dolors along that road. And on this feast day, we remember those dolors. You know, tradition talks about the seven dolors of Our Lady. Were there only seven times when she was greatly grieved? Well, there are seven moments that we can recount specifically that she was deeply grieved, but I'm quite certain that Our Lady was grieved more than seven times, desperately, painfully grieved. You know, and I think if we give a little cast back into our life, we can say that, yeah, there were more than seven times when I suffered greatly. But did we suffer with the attitude of Our Lady, this attitude of embracing the cross, knowing that that sorrow was also laden with grace? And I can't say that I've always done that. I've striven, I think, as I've grown, hopefully in spiritual maturity, to understand the great gift that suffering can be and the way in which God uses it and works all things to the good. But that doesn't necessarily lessen the pain, does it? However, what it does do is gives purpose to the pain. And in giving it purpose, giving it dimension, acknowledging the fact that in that moment we are being called into this glorious action of redemptive suffering, why, there can be a certain joy in it. I've always said, and it's been a standard of my life, that every sorrow, every joy contains the cross, and every cross contains joy. And I think that Our Lady found that joy in the midst of it all, even though she travailed in the midst of the sorrow and the suffering and the grief. And maybe that's why she is so important to us under this title, Our Lady of Sorrows. Yes, her sorrows, those seven that are depicted that really represent the totality of all of the suffering that she endured throughout the course of her life, even after her son rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. You know, we are told by the mystics that Our Lady continued to suffer his loss, right? As any mother who loses a child will do, as any father who loses a child will do. But she's also the mother of our sorrows too. Our Blessed Mother enters into our travail just as she entered into the travail of her son. And she gives herself to us in that moment as she gave herself to her son in his moment, standing there beside us, offering us her strength, offering us her courage, offering us her stamina, giving us those attributes of her own soul that help for us to persevere in the moment, giving us her fortitude and her courage, giving us that, you know, longanimity, that fruit of the Holy Spirit that means long-suffering, being able to be stable and constant in that moment, and allowing God to imbue within her that gift of patience, patient endurance that we all need when the sorrow is an unchangeable sorrow, when the sorrow is not going to have an end, but is going to be something that will accompany us through the rest of our life, whether that comes by disability or it comes by illness or it comes by grief and losing a loved one, great disappointment that can never be erased. In that kind of suffering, we need that patient endurance, and we need that stamina, and we need that fortitude every day, dying to self for the sake of a good that will be worked out through our suffering, that we'll know either in this life or the next. Well, there you go. Just some thoughts on this beautiful Feast of Our Lady today. And I'm inviting you to give us a call here, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live here. I'm encouraging you to join us. We want to have that holy conversation with you. I certainly want to chat with you today. So please do give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. EWTN Radio's YouTube channel, Facebook page, available for you as well. Use the chat feature there. Maybe what we spoke about so far has sparked something in you. Share with us about it. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. We're so very happy that you are with us today, and I am inviting you to give us a call here. Our phone lines are open for you. We have Matt Kubensky out there answering those phones. He's our call screener. You can say howdy hey to him when you call in, but I certainly do want for you to call in, and we want to get your question up on the board. Let me give you the toll-free number to use. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. I always like to remind you that we do have a number for you if you're outside of North America as well. Let me give you what that number is. That number is country code 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. 1-800-875-5785. We're also available for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, inviting you simply to use the chat feature there. Put your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement in there, or your prayer request. We'll be happy to take it. Jeff Burson, our producer and social media manager, will retrieve it, and he'll put it up on the board. And I am eager to tell you about some of the things coming up at Women of Grace. And then we are going to our phone line. So, Paul, hang on there. We're going to get right to you. But we've got all kinds of good stuff coming up for you. I've been telling you about the October 8th event. It is an online retreat, 4 hours long, begins at 10 a.m. Eastern Time in the morning on that Saturday, and it closes out at 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time on that Saturday. It is on the Rosary. You know, the Feast of the Rosary is October the 7th. So, on the 8th, we want to talk about the Rosary and how it is such a great, great instrument and prayer that leads us to our salvation. So the theme is the Holy Rosary and our journey towards salvation. I'm going to be giving you a talk. So is Tom Sullivan going to be giving you a talk. We've got the information out there for you on our website, EWTNR, I'm giving you the EWTN Religious Catalog website, which is a good place to go to too. But that isn't our website. Our website is womenofgrace.com. The times are there for you. It is a wide open kind of invitation to come. A donation of any dollar amount will be greatly appreciated. So we want you to get out there, check it out. You can click on the mention of it there on the homepage. It'll take you to a landing page and you can actually register and sign up there. We're hoping that you'll join us. It's going to be a beautiful day. And as I say, you know, you're going to have the front end of the day because it doesn't begin until 10. You'll have the back end of the day because it's over at 2, both of those times, Eastern time. Do want to remind you that we are having an information session this evening about our Women of Grace foundational study. It begins at 7 p.m. It'll be over by 9 p.m. We want you to use, again, our website to register and to join us there. We're going to tell you all about the foundational study. I'm quite certain that once you hear about it, you're going to want to participate in it. We're going to have online studies going on throughout the course of the fall. In addition to that, we're going to have in-person studies as well. So get out there and take a peek and see what's going on. You can register for our event this evening and get all of the information that you need to join us tonight. So just get out there to our website. Doing the same thing for those who want to take the study in Spanish, that's going to be on September the 19th. All kinds of lovely, lovely opportunities. And of course, I'm mentioning to you, and probably will keep doing it, but I'm not going to harp on it too much. But I do want to let you know about our 20th anniversary pilgrimage to Mexico City. We're going to the Basilica of Our Lady of Guadalupe to celebrate Women of Grace's 20th birthday. That's going to be December 8th, 2023. All right, so it's not this December, but it's not too soon to sign up, and it's not too soon to start to save your pennies so that you can join us for it. 833-288-EWTN, that's 833-288-3986. Let's go to Paul is with us in Howell, New Jersey. Yes, I can speak, and sometimes I do it rather well. It's just not in that moment. Hey, Paul, how are you?
Hey, good morning, Jeanette. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for giving us a call.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about you. It doesn't seem like you have too much on your schedule, on your plate. Jeanette, the reason I'm calling today is I wanted to thank you. I've called several times in the past, a couple of prayer requests, and one was for my sister who was going through a procedure. It was a very serious thing, and that came out very well. And I also called you about my one son, and he had a career problem, a career choice, and he did very well with that. So I figured I'd give you a call on my second son.
Okay.
His name is William. He's a fine young man. He's very religious, and he's struggling mightily with his career choices. And mm-hmm. I was hoping that you would go three for three for me and offer a prayer for him that he would make the right decision in his career.
Oh, well, thank you so very much, Paul. I appreciate that. So is this like is he trying to determine, you know, between job opportunities, or is this a career path?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he has an education as a chiropractor, but he's struggling he's not really finding anything that suits him. He's very much into health and physical fitness, and so he's struggling with that. But he's also kind of leaning toward being a law enforcement officer, which I was for 30 years. So he's kind of struggling. So I would hope that you'd say a prayer for him and ask the Lord to give him some guidance.
Sure. Well, let's just do that right now. And his name is William, you said, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Father God, we come before you now and we lift up Paul's son, William. And Father, he is seeking your guidance, your direction, so that your perfect will for him could be fulfilled in the career choices that lay before him. Father, when you created William in your image and likeness, you had a plan for him. You had a mission for him. And that plan and that mission has never changed. And sometimes, Father, it's hard for us, you know, in our humanity, to be able to discern which way to go, to be able to know what is going to please you, and in pleasing you, please us. Because if we fulfill our mission, that's where we will discover our happiness, our true joy, the assurance in our heart and our soul that we are in union with you in this occupation or career choice that we're making. And so I'm going to ask now that by way of William's guardian angel, that he would have an intimation, you know, in his heart and in his mind as to the choice that is best for him. Father God, I ask that this would be made known to him soon so that he can get about the business of entering into this field that you know is the perfect field for him. I ask, Father, that once this decision is made, he never looks back, but he puts his hand to the plow and he moves forward because he will have that assurance in his heart that no matter what presents itself to him in the midst of that in the midst of that career field, that the grace is there for him and the capacity to be able to fulfill that mission is his through you. I ask that you would bring him peace of mind, and I ask, Lord God, that it would be very evident to him which way he should go. And I offer this prayer to you today in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, through the merits of his cross, with the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon him in a very specific way, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady today under her title of Our Lady of Sorrows. We thank you, Father God, that you always hear our prayer and you make haste to help us. So listen, Paul, communicate this to him, because I remember, and I've shared this many times on the air here, and people tell me it's been very helpful for them, and it might be for him too. You know, I was at a moment in my own, you know, mission where I had to make a very important decision. And so I asked Father Mitch to help me out with this. I went to him and chatted with him about it. And he gave me, you know, this one kind of means of discernment that comes to us from St. Ignatius of Loyola. And I knew instantly what I had to do. The first one is that we list our pros and cons. And oftentimes, that's the first thing that we do. And there's nothing the matter with that. We should. We live in a practical, real world. So we sit down, we list the pros, we list the cons, and that takes in everything. All of the real life aspects of it, such as salary, benefit structure, you know, proximity to home, how it's going to impact our family. I don't know if William's married or not, or if he has children or not, how it's going to impact our family. We write all this down. And we look at it and we evaluate all of that. And sometimes, you know, one list is longer than the other, but sometimes maybe even the shorter list has greater value. You know, the things that we've listed there has a greater component to it, you know, and weighs more heavily than maybe a long list of other things. So we pay attention to that. If we don't have an answer at that point, then we do the next thing. And the next thing is that we picture ourselves. Now, here he is, and he's struggling between two career fields, right? So he kind of sits there and he pictures himself maybe, you know, dressed in a lab coat or whatever he would wear as a chiropractor. And he sees himself, you know, welcoming patients and going through the various realities of that job, assessing the patient. patient and then implementing what he knows how to do. He sees himself in that. And he pays very close attention to the emotions that are rising up in him. Because God uses all of the faculties of the soul to make his will known to us. So does he feel excitement, anticipation in a holy sense? You know, does he feel a kind of zeal welling up there? Does he feel kind of like a certain joy? Or on the other hand, does he feel like a dread and a heaviness and a weight of spirit, you know? That sometimes tells us something. Then he pictures himself in the other opportunity there as a law enforcement officer, does the same kind of testing and sees what kind of emotions well up. Oftentimes that'll be where it is. You know, where do you feel, where is that fit for you? And it was at that stage that I knew what I had to do. But then Father said, if you don't find it there, you go to the third. And here you are and you're standing before God. And you're making an account of your soul, right? This is your particular judgment. And God says, you know, hey, William, you know, you had these two career options there. Both areas were open up to you. And like, why did you make the decision that you made? And in that moment, what are we feeling? Guilt, sorrow, anxiety, you know?
Right.
Are we able to say, well, you know, Lord, I discerned this and I knew this was your will for me. And at that point, you know, like, you know, that I think that usually cinches the deal. But I feel very strongly his guardian angel is going to be a great assistant in all of this.
I think so, too. And I was kind of hesitant to call because, I mean, I hear so many listeners have, you know, so many serious, serious problems. And this is actually, a good problem to have. But like I said, it's very important to him. And he prays all the time. He's a very religious young man. So I thought any extra help I could give him, I would give him. So I thought of you.
Oh, well, you're so sweet. Well, thank you very, very much. And I'm going to lift him up, when I go to Mass this afternoon. So I'll
thank
put
you,
him
Janet.
In.
I greatly appreciate it. And could I just want to say one other thing? I want to say how what a great pleasure it is to deal with Matt. He's a great guy, and he's a very professional man. And I wanted to give him a shout out today.
Well, thank you, Paul. I appreciate that. And I'm sure that he's hearing you right now, although I think he's got some people on the line here. But I'll pass that along to him. Thank you. That's very kind of you.
Thank you so much, Janet. Have a great day.
You too, Paul. And just remember one thing, and I say this to Paul, and I say this to all of you, you know, there is no situation in our life that God is not concerned about for us, you know, so there's no prayer request that's too large or no prayer request that's too small, because God wants every bit of it. And we know that because that's what he told St. Faustina. He said, I want you to tell me everything. I want you to give me everything. So we did that for William today, and let's all just continue to pray for him and for all of the needs that we know individuals have as we make our way through this pilgrim journey to life on high in Christ Jesus. We're going to go to Diana. Diana is in Tampa, Florida, right there in the Tampa Bay area. Hey, Diana, how are you?
Hey, Janet. I'm always here listening to your show. I love it. You bring peace to my heart. Thank you.
You're so very welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, so I wanted to tell you because there's something that's going on in my family, and I question myself sometimes, and even here in WTN. But I wanted to also ask you because it's good to have your opinion. I like the way you give advice. And I have this situation at my house with my husband and me and my mom and my dad. And the thing is, there has never been a good, a perfect relationship, which is never going to be. But it's more on the bad side. Of in between my husband and my mom, and it's because she wanted something probably better for me or whatever it is, or she didn't like the way, my choice, as mm-hmm. a husband. But we have two kids, I'm married, I decided to get married to the church and just put everything in God's hands, and it was hard for me, I didn't know if I wanted to, but I have an autistic kid, I needed the help, he's very attached to my husband and all that. So I stay with my husband, we've been together for a few years now.
How many years additions. Again? Diana, how many years did you say?
We've been living since 2009, together since 2009, but we got married in 2017 or 18, like 2 years ago. We got married to
Richard. Okay. Well, I'm certainly glad that you did that.
Yeah.
So your mom is not fond of this gentleman, apparently. And
She
doesn't
she really
like him.
At all. And she was telling me, you know, he's not, but we already have a second child, and I'm always putting him in my prayers because I know we all need conversion. He was not a practicing Catholic, and I made him, not that I made him, but at least he does try and go to Mass with me on Sundays. I tell him to go to pray, you know. He has an addiction to opioids. Not opioids, but weed, right, marijuana, and I don't like it, but I'm trying to tell him that it's a good thing if he tries not to, you know, do these things.
Okay, so Diane,
let's you know.
Yes, well, let's kind of slow down a little bit here. So, just so I know that I've got the situation right, you're married to this gentleman. You've been married to him since 2017 or 2018.
Yes.
You had a relationship, a live-in relationship with him prior to that time. Had a child at that time. You've had a second child. Your mother is not happy with him, but he's an opioid addict. Is that correct?
Well, I don't know if that's called opioids. It's marijuana. I don't know if it's the same. I guess the same, right? But
what?
Yeah, he's always been an addict to that, and always been on him too. He says he always tries to quit, but he says he suffers from anxiety or whatever. I don't know if that calms him down. But I always tell him, you know, look for other help, prayer, other things.
He's a good father, and all that. He is a good father.
He's a very good father. He works hard. He works in a salon. He does work a lot, you know, and he takes care of us financially. He's not organized with his money, and I am not, so I can't even complain about that.
So what is it that you want us to help you with today?
Okay, so the question is, now that we're living in my house for a while, my mom's house, she and my dad came up, they just told us that the rent was going to go up because it's going up. My mom's housing with the kids, so she helps me at home with
You're living with your parents.
No,
right?
They don't live with me. We're renting from them. So they
live. You're renting.
My mom lives in another place. Yeah, because the house was too big for her. So she just let me live. I've been living in the house for a long time because she really didn't want to take care of it. So I've been taking care of the house. We kind of help each other in a way.
Right. So I'm going to have to put you on hold because we're going to a break here, and we'll come back and see what you are asking for today, you know, on our program, and we'll try to unravel some of this. And so, friends, we're inviting you to give us a call too, 833-288-EWTN, 333-288-3986. Coming right back after the break. Stay with us.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. We're so happy to be with you today, and I'm inviting you to give us a call here. The phone lines are open for you, and we have Matt Kubinski on the phones, and he's eager to hear from you as well. Let me give you the toll-free number to use right here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Just pick up the phone and give us a call. We'll get you up on the board there. Let us know if you're a first-time caller. We'll ring our bell to welcome you. Also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Use the chat feature there. Put in your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. Let us know if you're a first-time submitter, and we will ring the bell for you too. Jeff Burson will be collecting your questions out there on our social media sites, and he is our social media manager as well as being our producer. We have Diana on the line. She's there in Tampa, Florida today, and she's sharing about the tension that exists between her husband and her mother. Her husband they have been married now since 2017 or 2018, and they have two children. Husband is a good father, and he's a working dad. He's pulling his weight there. He does have, a propensity to use marijuana. I thought that Diana said opioids there, but no, it's marijuana. And her parents are, they're living in her parents' home. They're paying, or not in the home, I don't think, but we're going to find that out. Let's get back to Diana. Diana, are you there? So now, explain to me very quickly, are you living in the house with your parents, but you're paying them rent to do so? Is that correct?
No. Yes, I live in their house, but they don't live with us. They have their own.
They have a separate
another
home.
Place where they live. Correct.
Okay.
It's their home. They own the home. Because, my mom didn't want to live there. It was too big for her. So we've been taking care of the house and, you know, all the expenses that come in there. It's not being a lot of expenses, but now, you know, my husband says we've been taking care of it. Why are they raising the rent when we're family, when we're supposed to be helping each other? And my conversation to him said, well, I cannot tell him that because I feel that maybe they're doing it, I think, in my opinion, my dad and her are doing it as a, I don't know, I don't want to say punishment, but I want to say to kind of go towards him, like, you got to pay more because you make money and you're not saving, and guess what? Now we're going to raise the rent on you. I feel like it's a way for them to go back. I don't know. It's not like a good feeling I have about it.
Well, I think that what you need to do, Diana, this is what I would recommend. I mean, I think, you know, you're all grown-ups here. So I think the important thing to do is to sit down and to have a discussion. Because sometimes, you know, we attribute what we think is somebody's motivation. We attribute that thinking to them, you know, and it may or may not be accurate. But the problem is, if we don't know and we begin to respond as if it were accurate, then we can really cause damage to a relationship. And in this case, there's already a strain and a stress in the relationship that you have with your parents because they're not fond of the man that you married, which is an unfortunate reality. But that is the case. So basically what I'm saying is, when we really don't know somebody's motivation, but we're speculating what it is, and then we live out of that speculation, we create this narrative in our mind, and we begin to respond out of this narrative in our mind without knowing what the facts truly are, then, you know, we can cause very serious and severe damage to a relationship. And this one already suffering, you know, some, you know, damage to the relationship. It could only exacerbate it and make it worse. So I think that what you need to do is not to assume that they're punishing you, but to assume that, yes, indeed, we're living in a very difficult time right now economically, and everybody's expenses are going up, and the cost of living has risen tremendously in the last year and a half, almost 2 years now. So I'm thinking that maybe they're just trying to pass that on to you, which is the unfortunate reality of what's going to happen to all of us. It's going to get passed on to us. You know, it's costing everybody, from what I hear on the news, over $400 more a month, and you multiply that out by 12, and you begin to realize that, you know, it's about $5,000 more a year just to do what they were doing last year. So I think you should sit down and say to your parents, you know, just share with us, you know, what it is that you're seeing that is the cause of this increase in rent, and help us to understand a little bit more fully. The other thing that I just want to say to you is that, you know, you are married now, and through that marriage vow, it is important for you to work on that marital relationship. And, you know, I understand that marijuana is a substance that's legal in a lot of states right now. But the fact of the matter is, it's not a healthy thing to be doing. So, you know, I think that I would try to have some serious conversations with your husband to help him to perhaps find other ways, and you said that you have through prayer and all, but to deal with the stress that he might be feeling. I mean, exercising is a great way to deal with stress, and there's other ways that we can do it without taking drugs. And marijuana is a drug. I know it's a weed, but it's a drug. So, you know, that's what I would try to do. But your duty and obligation through marriage is to your husband. You were married in the church, so the sacrament is there, and you've got to pull on that. But my primary advice to you with regard to your parents is to have a conversation with them, and you know, and see what is the real motivation, and to say, well, I just hope that you're not tell them what you're thinking. You know, I'm just concerned that maybe because you're not happy about my decision, you know, that this is a way that you're trying to you know, prove to me how unhappy you are. But I think it's important, Diana, to have an honest discussion so that you're not working off of a false premise. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome, sweetheart. God bless you. I'll be praying for you, too. I'll put you in my rosary today, Diana. You're welcome, sweetheart. You too. Bye-bye. And I think that this is it, friends. You know, I mean, it's never easy to have these difficult conversations. It is never easy. But what comes forth as a result of not having it is much more miserable to deal with and can cause a breach in a relationship that never can be healed and can never be repaired. And by the same token, you know, in Diana's case, the parents have to realize she married this man. He's her husband. You know, in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, all those ways. And you know, parents have got to back off and back out of the marriages of their children, which is very hard because, you know, unless we see something very untoward going on, you know, where there's, you know, real reason to be concerned for the safety of our child, physically, emotionally, mentally, then we can, you know, we have a duty and obligation to try to resolve that. But, you know, otherwise, if it's just because this person, we just don't really like them, we got to get over ourselves. Let's go to Ruth. She's in Easton, Pennsylvania today. Good morning, Ruth. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm hanging in there, my dear friend. With the grace of God, all things are possible. So tell me about yourself.
You've prayed for my brother before, and he has a glioblastoma. And I want to tell you that, all things considered, he's doing well at this point. There's no tumor right now, and there's no evidence of a new one growing at this point. So,
good.
So that's good. And they have a new thing for it that hopefully will keep it from growing and give him more time.
Beautiful.
So these are good things. These are good things. And,
yes.
And I appreciate all that you've done and appreciate what you've been through in a new way. What I wanted to ask you is, I'm going to a retreat where there's going to be healing and there's going to be saints. The saints' relics. There's some saint relics. One's
okay.
Part of healing.
Okay.
And it's a heal. Part of it is a healing mat.
All right.
And is there any way? Is it to offer that for my brother instead of for myself?
Oh, sure. Yes, there is. I mean, it would be dandy if your brother would agree to go with you. That would even be better. But, you know, basically, you know, I guess the question is sort of like, can you pray in proxy for your brother? Can you even go up and receive prayers for him? And the answer to that is yes, absolutely. This is intercessory prayer where you're standing in the place of someone else, right? And that's some aspect of it. It's just like when Jesus hung on the cross, right? He was sinless. You know, he is true God and true man, but he was standing in for us. He offered himself for us. So, you know, when we approach, you know, an opportunity like this where there is a healing mass going on and maybe even, you know, the chance that we can be prayed for individually, to stand there in proxy for him is something that you can most certainly do. And I recommend that you do that. It's a beautiful, beautiful gift that you would be giving to your brother for his healing. And I'm happy that he's in this sweet spot right now where, you know, the tumor has been removed. I'm sorry, did he have a craniotomy to remove the tumor?
It's a new procedure where, he didn't have to have the skull open just by like a little drill hole.
Uh-huh.
It's like a laser procedure.
Isn't
and
that
he had,
amazing?
It is. And then he had the, they did the radiation and the, he takes the pills now.
Yes. Yeah.
And then,
he's
got to continue with the pills, and they're considering this new magnetic thing, which he'd have to wear a long time during the day. I mean, it's going to be something that people will see and everything. So it's a little bit of a bitter pill, but what it will give is time and hopefully more time and better results.
Yeah. And so, and here's the thing, you know, even in that, you know, you could have a little conversation with your brother and say, you know, I know that this is, you know, it's humiliating, it's embarrassing, it's unattractive, it's all of these things. But you can take all of that that you feel, the humiliation, the embarrassment, the fact that it is unattractive, and you can offer that to the Lord, you know, as part of your suffering in union with his, and that, you know, helps for us to be able to receive the grace that God desires for us to use and to function in and to cooperate with as we go through this time. And it's beautiful, the improvements that have happened in the science that's taken place since my late husband died of that in 2007. But I do remember the doctor telling us, you know, after that first tumor was removed, you know, he said, you know, you've got some time here. You know, this is the time to do what it is that you want to do. And so for your brother, he should take advantage of this time. And the best way to take advantage of this time is through opportunities that you might be able to present to him to join you for this retreat. But you absolutely can do that, Ruth. And it's a beautiful thing for you to do.
Yeah, I talked to his wife, and it's a little charismatic, and they're not really into that, and I wasn't sure, you know, with them. But what I am asking for is, can you just pray that they do, their souls, that they do use this time in that way that God means it to be?
Sure.
Because
and let me
I
ask
think
you a question.
So important.
It is. Let me ask you a question. Are they practicing Catholics?
Yes, but I would say they're a little bit of a cafeteria Catholic.
Okay. Well, this is the time to get over being, you know, taking a smorgasbord attitude towards the church for him, because, you know, I don't know if the prognosis for glioblastoma has changed. You keep saying that this is going to give him more time, which tells me that it's still a fatal diagnosis for the most part.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it may give him up to 3 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's good. That years is a good thing. All right. So let's just do this. We're going to pray for him. We're going to pray for, we're going to pray really for a deeper conversion for them. And one last question. Has he received the sacrament of the anointing of the sick?
He hasn't mentioned that. I do want to mention it to him that he can do it every month, right?
Yes, he can.
Want to mention that.
So, you know, and this is a beautiful, beautiful opportunity for him to dig deeply into the faith that he sometimes pays attention to. This is a time to get over that and to move forward. And I'm going to pray for that, because that's the ultimate thing. You know, sometimes there are diagnoses that we know outside of a miracle are going to be what takes us to that eternal moment. And the most important thing in those situations is to be looking towards that eternal moment and using all of the means that we have through Holy Mother Church to help for us to cooperate with grace and to cooperate with that grace so that we are in right order when we present ourselves. I mean, the great gift is that he has time. The great gift is that he knows what's going on, and there is time. But we don't want to push that time. We want to make use of that time. So, Father God, we do come before you, and we lift up Ruth's brother to you, and his name is Paul. Am I correct, Ruth?
Yes.
Okay. Father God, we come before you in this moment, and we lift Paul up to you. And Father, you know what he's going through right now, and you know everything about this disease. And this is what I'm asking for, Lord. You know, there is nothing. There's no cancer. There's no glioblastoma. There's no pancreatic. There is nothing that is greater than you. Nothing. And we know, Father God, if it is in the best interest of our soul, that you will perform miracles. And so we dare to ask for a miracle here. We dare to ask for a miracle here. But if, Father God, you know, this condition that Paul has, if in fact this glioblastoma, you want to work the greatest good out of it for him for the sake of his soul, then we say yes to that, Father God, and we bow to your will, and we know and put our trust and our faith and our confidence in the fact that you know better than we. You are the omniscient one, and we are not. So, Father God, I'm going to ask this, though. I'm going to ask that you would provide for Paul something, Lord. I mean, you would think that this glioblastoma would do it, but sometimes, Lord, you know, we need something more, even something to really, you know, help us to see more clearly the realities of the eternal dimension, to realize and to recognize, Father God, our need for you, our dependence upon you, but mostly to realize your mercy, and how it is that you desire, Lord, to make us whole, not just physically whole, but but the most greatest way of being made whole, and that is spiritually, Lord, healing our soul, healing it, Lord, healing it, and filling it with your own divine life that makes that cross not only lighter, you know, in the natural dimension, but actually a joy-filled experience, you know, a way in and of itself that takes us to you. You tell us that you, Jesus, are the way, the truth, and the life. And what is that way? The way is the way of the cross. And so we take all of our trials and our turmoils and our difficulties and our tensions and our reversals in life, our sadnesses of heart, all of the diagnoses and the illnesses, Lord, fatal or otherwise, we take all of that, Lord, and we offer it up to you that we might make use of this way of the cross, because it is that way that redemption comes and resurrection happens. And so we're praying this for Paul. If there's anything in his heart, Lord, that needs to be resolved, like a stubbornness of heart and obstinacy, or if, Father God, you know, he's been hurt by the church, or if he's been the victim of false notions, you know, governing his way of thinking and his way of seeing, we're going to ask, Lord, that you would arrest those right now, that you would arrest them, that he might see clearly. I'm going to ask that the scales would drop from his spiritual eyes, Lord God. May those scales drop from his spiritual eyes. And the same for his wife, who is meant to be his helpmate at this time, helping him to walk that way of the cross that leads to life everlasting. I pray that the scales would be dropped from her eyes. I pray that this dear, dear daughter of yours, Ruth, the sister of Paul, who's offering him the opportunity to stand in proxy for him through the sacramental way in which you wish to lead us to healing and to hope, coupled with the desire of her heart for him, that in that way, Father God, there would be efficacy. I pray that it is efficacious and that you see the desire of your daughter's heart for her brother's well-being, but most especially for his spiritual well-being. And I know, Father God, that this is a prayer that you will hear, because we're praying it in union with your will, which is what you want for each of us, life on high, in your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, for all eternity. And so it is that we offer this prayer to you, Father, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with a maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady, especially on this feast of Our Lady of Sorrows. Amen.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Ruth. You're welcome, darling. And I know it's you know, it's so hurtful, especially when we see our loved ones suffering. I think on this day, you know, Our Lady of Sorrows, wasn't that the dolor that pierced her through and through, from one side of her being to the other side, one side of her soul to the other side, and that was watching her son suffer. So you take all of this, you know, interior pain that you're feeling for your brother, both for his physical well-being, but most especially for his spiritual well-being, and just offer it to Our Lady, you know, to take to her son for us, and just say, Mother, you know, that sword that pierced your heart through and through as you stood beneath the cross of your son, I now want to make that sword a walkway for me to enter into your immaculate heart and to offer there my brother to you to carry to your son, our Lord Jesus Christ, on this your feast day.
I will. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Ruth. God bless you, darling.
Take care. God
you
bless
too.
You.
Thank you. Bye-bye now. Bye. See, and I think that is what we don't understand. You know, there is that part of what we read in the angel's announcement to our Blessed Lady about the coming of the Savior and God's great request of her. And that was, you know, that the sword would pierce her own heart. And then it says, so that the secret thoughts of many might be revealed. Right? And isn't that a beautiful thing? That you know, Mary, our mother, suffers alongside of us as only a mother can, but she makes a way for us. So we can reveal the secrets of our heart to this mother. And really, isn't it true that each of those swords pierced her heart? And with each piercing, you know, what did that do? It opened her heart for us, right? So we can take, you know, we can take any travail that we might be experiencing and think of those seven dolors of Our Lady, those seven sufferings of Our Lady. And we can say to her, you know, Mother, you know, I know that you suffered when you and Joseph had to pack up quickly in the dead of night and head off to Egypt because, you know, Herod was after the life of your son. You know, in my own way, I've suffered like this. Or, you know, I've suffered the betrayal of others, just as your son in that moment was being betrayed by the very people that he was coming to save. I attach myself to that suffering, and I ask you to carry it to the cross of your son. So anyway, there you have it. And on this beautiful, beautiful feast day, let us deeply enter into that immaculate heart of our mother, where we find consolation and hope in her son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Until we are together again, may the abundant life of Jesus Christ be yours, and may God richly bless you. Bye-bye now.